Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Welcome back to Organizing Life Stages and Unexpected Events. Today, I want to talk to you about the baby and toddler stage. So in the last episode, I talked to you about how I desperately wanted children since the time I was a child, got married and started trying to have children, and we found out that we were infertile. We went through the infertility story and ended up adopting two beautiful babies. And now I want to pick up from when we adopted that first baby and that whole transition from being a wife to being a mother. And for everyone, that transition is different. Sometimes it's super easy when you have your first child, but it's hard when you have the second one or third one. For some, the first child is really, really hard, and every child after that is much easier. So I'm going to kind of share my story about how motherhood happened to me and the organizational strategies I put in place in the first 4 years of being a mother to help me be the best wife, mother, and woman that I could be to the best of my ability. So the first thing that you will notice when you have children is you are sleep deprived. Maybe, possibly, rarely you have a baby that sleeps really well and you never have that sleep deprived stage. If so, then you are truly a rarity. But for most parents, you hit that sleep deprived stage somewhere in the first month. And for my husband and I, it was pretty dramatic. So we adopted our baby boy. We picked him up at 5 o'clock at night one night, and boom, we were parents. We hadn't had a shower. All we had was a car seat. We didn't even have a crib. And my husband went to work the next day, went to the doctor's appointment at 8 a.m. and went off to work. And here I was with this little baby to take care of. And our baby was awesome, just as everybody's baby is. But he also was very colicky. And still to this day, he's 14. He's not a big sleeper. Like, he can survive on 5-6 hours of sleep a night. So we wanted him to sleep. I like sleep. I prefer 7 to 9 hours is usually a good amount for me. My husband needs 8 to 9 hours. And we had this baby that really didn't nap and didn't really like sleeping at night either. The poor little guy had reflux, which we eventually figured out, some food sensitivities that we eventually figured out. But he cried a lot. He just was not very comfortable. And I really knew my sleep. I've mentioned before, I am a morning person. So give me the baby in the morning, I'll take care of him all day. By 4 o'clock, I'm exhausted. And by 8 o'clock at night, I really want to go to bed. At that point, whenever there's a transition in my schedule, I find that I tend to sleep more and I like to go to bed between 8 or 9 until my body adjusts to whatever the new demands are on me. We're currently in the back to school season, and so I am going to bed between 9, 10, or 11 o'clock at night. If I push it to 11 a couple nights in a row, then I have to go to bed at 9 at least once that week and or take a bunch of naps. So I'm a good napper. When we had baby, if he would take a cat nap in the swing, I would sleep on the couch right next to him and get a 20 to 40 minute power nap. And that really helped. But by 8 o'clock at night, I just could not even function. Like, it was pointless. So my husband would take Joey from 8 to midnight, and then he would try to put him down. And then I would have Joey from 2 o'clock on, because he'd sleep like from 12 to 2 and then, you know, maybe go back to bed until 4, wake up again at 4, wake up at 6. And then he would sleep like from 6:30 to 10. So I started sleeping in until 10. And you kind of have to go with whatever your kids' schedules are at that point, just so you can survive. So I remember being so extremely tired at one point that I got in the shower and I was washing my hair, and I realized I had washed my hair with body soap. And I was like, oh, I have to wash my hair again. So I washed my hair again, I went to rinse it out, and I realized I had done the same thing. I had put body wash back in my hair again, and I had to wash my hair for the third time. And I was now saying out loud in the shower, use shampoo, use shampoo, use shampoo. So I would wash my hair with shampoo, and I remember thinking to myself, what has become of me? I can't even wash my hair anymore. And somewhere along the line, you'll hit the same spot when you have your first or maybe your second child where you're just so extremely exhausted you can't even wash your own hair anymore. Or maybe it's you can't count change, or I don't know. Something will happen along the line where you realize you are just flat out exhausted. So that's what it was like for us. We were exhausted. However, since we adopted our child literally in the middle of the night, I never stopped working. So we had had Joey 5 days, and I'm literally holding this little preemie baby as I'm doing a unit meeting for my direct sales company because I didn't want to stop working because we needed the income. I don't know what I was thinking. And with both children, when they turned 3 months old, I like stopped and looked around and went, oh my gosh, I need to take time off of work and like enjoy these babies and have a little mini maternity leave, like 10 days or something like that. And with both children, it was at the age of 3 months. Now, I've not physically given birth, but I imagine the same thing probably happens when you physically give birth. For some people, they're like so ready for this baby to come home and they take care of this baby, but somewhere along the lines, and maybe for you it was day one, but I'm thinking somewhere along the lines, you're looking at this baby, you're the only one in the house with this baby, you go, oh my gosh, I'm the mom. Like this realization that you are the mom and this is your child and this is the rest of your life. And for me, with both children, that happened at 3 months. Now, when our babies were born, I already had somebody cleaning our house. I had come home to work from home before we had children. I was doing direct sales. I was tutoring. I was working for another company online. I had a bunch of different jobs. And I had hired someone to clean our house every 2 weeks. So our house was already being cleaned when we had a baby. I already had that help. And my mother came and stayed once or twice, I think, to help me with the babies too, and was a very big help in that. But for the most part, I was on my own with these children. And I was working from home, which I loved. So now I had the two things that I loved, these babies that I was dying to be a mother to, and this business that I also loved equally as well. Like, I remember going to bed one night and praying that God would not take my direct sales business away from me. Like, I think about, I can remember that night so vividly. Like, I so loved being a consultant for this company that I didn't want anything to ever happen to that company. So I equally loved working just as I loved having children. But I got to the point where I couldn't necessarily always do both. I had these really, really unrealistic expectations in my head of the kind of wife and mother that I would be. So growing up, we would vacuum our house before my dad got home from work so that the house was always vacuumed. So I was doing that for my husband. Every single day, I was vacuuming the house before he got home from work, and he would come home to a vacuumed house. Now, he will tell you the house does not have to be vacuumed for him. It's nice, you know, if it's vacuumed every once in a while, but it's not like it has to be vacuumed every day. And then I also had this unrealistic expectation that I would have these beautiful dinners ready for him when he came home, jazz music playing on the radio, the children would be all, you know, dressed nicely or whatever in their little swings. And when I just had one baby, I was able like to meet this unrealistic expectation a couple of times a week. Like my husband would walk into this great dinner and the whole house was clean and the music was on the radio. I'm crazy, right? And in my head, I imagine my house, and I love my house, but with a picket fence. We didn't have the picket fence. And I imagine myself having 4 children. We have 2. And that they would all be dressed the same. Like growing up, my sister and I would wear matching outfits. My mom even made these matching outfits. So I even made my kids' baby clothes. Like I was making their baby clothes. And clearly, it's a good thing I was in my 20s because I was burning the candle every which way but Sunday. And I was making clothes, making meals, working, taking care of children. It was crazy when I look back at it. And when we had baby number 2, by then baby number 1 was a toddler and all over the house, and there were no hot meals and no jazz radio, although the kids did look adorably cute and matched as long as I could pull that one off and took tons of pictures of it. But I had these unrealistic expectations set up for myself. And I think a lot of times, it took me a long time to realize that my expectations and my reality did not match up. So while we were waiting to adopt our daughter, Abby, our son was 18 months. And I remember when I had been feeding Joey his bottles, I was looking around our house and the baseboards were all, you know, like not nice. And every time I would give him a bottle, I would stare at these baseboards and go, oh my gosh, all the baseboards in this house need to be painted. So before we adopted Abby, I painted every single baseboard in our entire house. And everything else, like getting ready for that baby, I nested like you have no idea. Every single project was done in this house. Everything was clean. And I would go out every single day and weed our vegetable garden. Like weeds couldn't even grow because I was weeding so much. And I remember waiting to adopt her and thinking to myself, I will never be this organized ever again. Like there was literally not a single thing left to do in our house. Now I look around 13 years later and our baseboards desperately need to be painted again. But I was so ready to have this second child. So when the second child came along, one of the things I did to get ready for her was I made a list. I went through Joey's scrapbooks and I made a list of every single thing that I had taken a picture of in his first year of life so that when she was born, I would take pictures of all those things also. So when I went to make her scrapbook, it would be equally as big because I have made scrapbooks for many families and I have helped many people make scrapbooks, and the first baby always has lots of pictures, and then the pictures tend to dwindle down from there. Now, I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing. My dad's from a family of six, and I have a lot of friends who have a lot of children, and they'll say to me, oh my gosh, I don't have as many pictures of the baby. And I'll say, yeah, but the baby had all the siblings. I mean, imagine what a great life. You know, the first child had the adults and had to break you in, and you know, that's their payback. They get pictures. And the younger one had all these people and all these experiences that the first one didn't have right out of the gate. So it's all a trade-off. But on the blog, I have this list of, you know, an optional list that you could go through of all the things you might want to take pictures of in your child's first year of life. I am so glad that I did that because every 2 to 4 weeks, I would run across this list and I would double check. And there were two times where I had missed significant events in her life that I had taken pictures of in his. And I was able to go back and get those pictures or take the second time she did whatever it was or go, oh yeah, I took pictures of that. I didn't do this. I remember one of the things I did with my son is I did a whole photo shoot of him and printed it out in black and white film instead of color film. And I wanted to do the same thing for our daughter. So when our son was a little bit older than two, my husband flew with my son down to Florida for the weekend to see his dad and his brother. And I kept Abby home with me. And I thought, this is the perfect weekend because the toddler wasn't there then. And I vacuumed and I got everything ready. And we just spent a couple hours taking this whole photo shoot of Abby. I took a couple of hours taking this whole photo shoot of Abby. I went and even got the pictures developed that weekend to make sure they were what I wanted. And then I also took those pictures in color and they were her playing with these little yellow duckies and I redid their bathroom and it all was adorable. But had I not made that list, I probably would have never done that photo shoot because it wouldn't have been on my mind to match what I had done for our son. So that's one organizational tip that will be on the blog. Now, the other thing that really was wrestling with me at the same exact time. Our son was a little over two and our daughter was like 9 months. I had just earned a cruise for us, my husband and I, for my direct sales company. I was doing great in business. I really felt like I was in my stride as a mom, but there were things that were getting missed. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I needed better morning and evening routines, which I found through flylady.net. That's how I really got really good morning and evening routines and checklists. I just, you know, there was just so much going on all the time. Our little two-year-old still wasn't sleeping very much and he was a bundle of energy. And my nine-month-old baby was adorable and slept great. But when she was awake, she was a little koala bear and she just wanted to be held and loved by mommy. And I, of course, loved doing that because she was my baby and I love babies. But I just couldn't get it all done. I'd long since given up on vacuuming the house every day and the dinner and the whole music deal. But I didn't want to give up certain things. Like, I didn't want to give up giving my daughter her nighttime bottle. And I didn't want to give up my direct sales business. And I didn't want to give up doing laundry. Like, I liked doing laundry. So I started thinking, what are the things that I wouldn't mind giving up doing because I wasn't getting everything done? There was only so much time. So before Abby was born, or right after she was born, I hired an assistant to help me with my direct sales company who worked 3 to 5 hours a week. And this assistant did everything from labeling my catalogs, mailing out mailers, getting my newsletter ready, packaging up orders that had been ordered, running off flyers, setting up displays, getting things ready for my workshop. Anything that I could delegate, she would do. So I'd already made that step. And I could have increased the amount of hours that she was working, but I really didn't have much more that I could delegate. What was left on my list was coaching my downline, coaching my hostesses, coming up with the ideas for the workshop, preparing presentations, things like that, that I really couldn't delegate. So I came to the point where I realized I was not getting enough work done, but I also wasn't getting the home stuff done. I wasn't getting the bills paid on time. The kids needed a lot of doctor's appointments at that time, and things were getting missed, and I constantly felt scattered. And at the end of the day, I wasn't able to say I had gotten everything done, and I didn't even know what I was missing, and I didn't have a list to tackle the next day because I was just so exhausted I was falling into bed. And this is when I came up with the Sunday basket. So I've told this story a million times of how I went to the Sunday basket and put everything in slash pockets. I'll just put links to that over in the show notes on Organize 365 if you haven't heard of that idea yet. But more than just getting a handle on my paperwork and figuring out how to organize paperwork into baskets, I needed help getting the amount of work done. Like, it didn't matter how organized I could get this paperwork. There wasn't enough time for me to be a mom and be a direct seller and be a wife. I couldn't do them all. So the decision was made that I would hire a nanny one day a week on Wednesdays for 10 hours straight. She came at 8 a.m. and she left at 6 p.m. And for me, this was liberating. I mean, just life-changing, because I now had a 10-hour block of time where I was supposed to be working. Now, if you work from home, if you're in real estate or direct sales or anything where you're from home, even if you cut hair from home or tutor from home, whatever your job is from home, maybe you are like a lot of us and you find that you're always working. Like, you always feel like you're working, but you're never productively working. So like, I would be holding a baby and labeling catalogs at the same time that I was heating up macaroni and cheese, and then I'd be feeding my son, and I'd be putting stuff in the mail. And then, you know, I was multitasking everything, and I didn't have a definitive purpose for anything. So when I decided to hire a nanny on Wednesdays, Wednesday became my work day, and now everything work-related happened on Wednesdays, and I would work from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm one of those people that doesn't need a break, solid on my business. And by the time I was done at 6 p.m., I had a nice list for my assistant on Thursday morning to go ahead and tackle everything she could tackle on Thursday. Now, of course, I worked other days, like I worked a Friday night, maybe a Saturday morning, but once I hired that babysitter, I was able to really focus my time and get more done in that 10 hours than I could have gotten done in 20 hours of trying to work and be a mom at the same time. So I want you to realize, as you're in this baby and toddler stage, that if you're going to do anything, a Bible study, clip coupons, cook from scratch, do a direct sales company, anything like this, this whole baby toddler stage is about you learning to be a mom to these kids, but also learning to integrate these kids into your schedule and still keep a part of you. So if you love couponing, maybe you set aside that Saturday mornings for 2 hours, you do that. I remember one lady, she would get up every Saturday morning and her husband would keep the kids for 3 hours and she would go garage sailing, because she just loved to go garage sailing. And that was her time each week to really keep the part of her that was her and know that somebody else was taking care of the babies. I will also put in the show notes a link up to a class I have on how to hire help. I just think hiring help is necessary and awesome. You cannot do it all. And so I will traditionally hire people to help me in the things that I'm not great at so that I have enough time to do the things I am great at. You only have so much time, and everything you do is trading time for money. So I finally realized this a little bit ago when I was really thinking about traditional stay-at-home moms that don't bring in a physical income, like from direct sales or beauty or whatever. They do bring home an income, But the income that they bring home is in savings. Like by cooking from scratch, they add to the family bottom line. By shopping garage sales and resale shops, by sewing clothes, by mending things instead of buying new, by being able to use coupons, by being able to share things between people because you're in playgroups and you just buy one thing and share it among all of you, or trading services. A friend and I, at one point, she made two meals a week for me and I did all of her laundry. We did that for like, I think 6 or 9 months. It was awesome. I love doing laundry and I hate cooking, so it was great for me. And she hates laundry and loves cooking. Just things like that, that we did, that traded time and money and used our expertise. So I really want you to think about how you're using your time, what you love to do, how you can do more of what you love to do so that you can be happy and fulfilled. So this whole baby toddler stage is really an organizational, not a challenge, but it is an organizational time of your life. You're going from organizing yourself to organize yourself and other people. So you have to organize schedules. You have to organize baby bags. You have to organize childcare for your work. And you have all these memories to capture that you want to organize the taking of the memories, the actual doing the memories, and what you do after with the photos that you have. You have to organize clothing. You're creating new traditions. And really what you're doing is you're establishing your home. When you have children is when you really start thinking about, often, where do we want to go to church? How do we want to celebrate the holidays? What are our traditions for our family going to be? And there's a lot of work and planning go into that. You're learning to let go of yourself and to embrace the whole idea of being a family beyond you and your husband. You gain new friendships and playgroups of people who have kids about the same age. And the friends that I made when my kids were babies are some of my best friends today because we went through that experience together. And the thing that I really took me a long, long time to do, but that you're definitely doing during this stage, is you're establishing your mommy gut. You are your child's parent for a reason. They need you, you need them, and you know what's best for them. Better than any school, any doctor, your parents, your siblings, your friends, you know, like you just have this gut instinct about what is right for your kids. And that takes a long time to develop. At least it did for me. It took me a long time to develop that. And that's what you're developing during this mommy, baby, toddler time. The other thing is that's organizationally challenging is you have lots and lots of change when you have babies and toddlers. Like every 2 to 3 months, they're eating completely different foods. They're playing with completely different toys. They have new abilities. You have to organize their shots and their medicines and their well checks. And I love this phrase because it so reminded me of the toddler and baby years, which the days are long, but the years are short. Like now that my kids are 13 and 14, it does seem like those years were short, but I remember how long they were. And no, I'm not to the point yet where I would really like to have the toddler years back. I would take a cuddly baby and a bottle of milk any day, but those toddler years were really, really a struggle for me. In the next organizing life stages and unexpected events, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the unexpected events that come with babies and toddlers. And for me, that was medical challenges. So I hope to see you in 2 weeks. I hope you got some good nuggets of information on how to get organized in today's podcast. Come on over to organize365.com to check out all the resources and links in today's show.